looking at how we sit, and I'll be giving some ideas on how we can support ourselves in our meditation practice. But first of all, I just wanted to say, it's been quite a week for my partner and myself. A few days ago, a good friend of ours died, and then yesterday I was arrested on a protest against genocide. So there's a lot been going on, and then this afternoon I got really grumpy. I got really like, oh, life is like, the kind of the heartbreak of being in this world. And I think practice for me personally is about, it's both opening what some of you might describe as the sense doors, or being more sensitive to this world, but also there can be an extent of like guarding our sense doors, making, because if we just we can be too sensitive and then just literally overwhelmed by the grief of everything that happens. So practice waking up, helping us to see more clearly. Practice as a way of being more in our bodies, and yet there can be this danger sometimes we can get like too fixated on our bodies, and then we might be neglectful of all that's around us. So really, I feel when I say this, I sound quite utopian. I'm sure some people might think this is quite naive. I really do believe in oneness, and as Marnie said before we came on, we were talking about trees and the kind of the power of trees, and I think we can learn so much from trees. And personally, I've hugged many trees, and I will happily hug many more trees. We were saying we both have read this great novel, The Overstory by Richard Powers. So for those of you who love trees, which is hopefully everyone here, for those of you who love trees, and also if you love stories of resistance and rebellion, of people imagining other possibilities rather than what we're currently experiencing, I would definitely recommend The Overstory by Richard Powers, an American. So, whatever time zone you're in, wherever you might be, whatever clothes you might be wearing, so no need to wear kind of special clothes. No need to wear like a t-shirt like what I'm wearing at the moment. You don't have to be in a special place. I think a great way to start is by acknowledging our uniqueness. So, albeit I said oneness, within the oneness, we are each a unique being. We each come here with our own stories, our own different versions of body, and I'll be talking more about that. There's uniqueness, and there's also including everything that we're bringing. So, as I was just talking about, for myself, I feel the heartbreak of what's happening. And I also look at the trees. And so this afternoon, I was walking near here. Maybe a few of you have come across this, a place called Parkland Walk, beautiful green. I think being in the green can be so healing for us. Other people around, walking with my partner, talking together, sangha, community. And we can be so supported by connection. So, in terms of including everything we bring, what I was going to suggest in a few moments is that we come to standing. However, maybe for some of you, standing simply does not work. Maybe your energy levels are really low. Maybe for whatever situation in your body, it's simply too much to stand. In which case, continue just as you are. So I might sometimes talk about the radicalism of comfort. So being comfortable, because life can be, life can be, as many of you know, life can be very uncomfortable, very, very challenging. So without denying that, so I think to turn towards everything there is rather than turning away, and also right now making yourselves as comfortable as you can. So if this works for you, come to standing. If you feel uncomfortable standing, stay as you are. So, having come to standing, let's just take a few moments to simply allow your arms to hang alongside your body. And obviously, you can do that when you're sitting. Take this moment. So, for those of you who are standing in this way that supports your body. So, for most people, that'd be the feet about as wide as the hips. As I mentioned, the arms just allow your body to be as you stand. And then let's just do a little bit of shaking. We might call this shaking off stuff. This is what animals will do. So if they're upset, had a bit of a shock, they'll shake it off. So we can shake whether we're sitting, we can shake if we're standing, maybe a little bit of shrugging the shoulders, shaking the hands, kicking the feet. And then gradually, for those of you shaking, gradually taking your time, come back to just standing as you are. And then as you stand, so the act of standing obviously requires some effort, some energy. See if you can soften. So instead of like being tense, see if you can soften. So it's almost like there's a process of recognizing tension. We are all tense, varying degrees, and looking to soften, cultivating what you might describe as ease. So standing, as I said, will require more effort than sitting for nearly all of us. However, while standing, see if you can soften and then just doing a few little movements, just kind of very gently, just kind of swaying from side to side. So again, keeping this soft, swinging, swaying from side to side, keeping this soft. And then gradually come back to center, staying soft. When you next inhale, raise the arms about as high as your shoulders. And then as you exhale, just take the arms out wide. Inhale, bring the arms together. Exhale, bring the arms out. Just a few more times. So keeping this all soft. Inhale, lifts. Exhale out wide. Maybe you're imagining you're hugging that tree. Inhale together. Exhale down. Maybe some of you might like to do this movement, maybe with the eyes closed, just so we're really kind of feeling. Movement can be a wonderful way of helping us to feel, to connect, at turning towards. So next time you bring the arms down, just coming back into the arms this allowing of the arms to like hang down by your side. Feeling your feet on the floor. So this, you're standing. There's a kind of strength in your standing. Remember, without like standing to attention. So seeing if you can just allow your fingers to be, face to be soft. It can be a, you could actually placing your tongue around your teeth, just like just a few moments, just really feeling your teeth with your tongue. This can be a way of maybe bringing a little bit more release into that jaw in your face, just feeling your teeth with your tongue. So in the Buddhist teaching, sometimes they might talk about different ways of different poses for meditation. So I'm sure many of you have done walking meditation. That's one way. The most advanced way to meditate is lying down. Because often when we lie down, we just fall asleep. So that's why it's like advanced to meditate when we're lying down. Then there's this standing meditation. For some people, standing meditation can be a real way in. Maybe someone's got low blood pressure, as I already talked about. Maybe simply standing does not feel comfortable for someone. So be sustainable in what you're doing. So that's like not, oh, this is what I read about, not what, oh, someone told me to do it this way. This is about each of us, the turning towards. Some of you all know that suggestion from the Japanese teacher Dogen. Cook with the ingredients you've got. I love the simplicity. Be curious about what can work for your body. So the fourth way of meditating, which we'll be looking at in a few minutes, is sitting. Otherwise, standing. And then standing empower your practice. Just as an example, do you wish to have your eyes open or your eyes closed? I know for some people, closing eyes can be a cause of rising anxiety. Or maybe in your time zone, it's later than 7. Maybe closing your eyes and you start feeling really tired. So then keep your eyes open. So making your practice. So whether the eyes are open, whether the eyes are closed, your choice. So you're choosing. So through choice, that's a way of empowerment. For those of you who decide to keep the eyes open, what I would recommend, almost like a quietening of eyes. We can bring in so much information through our eyes. So maybe the eyes are softly down, rather than the eyes looking around, eyes softly down. And then be aware of the feeling of your feet on the floor. Just simply feel your feet. Your feet on the floor. Maybe you might be noticing the moving sensations in your feet as they touch the floor. Maybe you might be noticing the weight is more, say, towards the balls of the toes, or perhaps the outer or the inner edges of the feet. Simply a feeling. Feet on floor. So whether your feet are wearing shoes and socks, or maybe you're barefooted like myself, whatever you're wearing, whether you're standing or whether you're sitting, just feeling feet on floor. Invariably, our minds wander. Maybe there's an external sound. Or maybe you're caught in previous events or looking ahead. Come back. Just simply feeling your feet on the floor. And then, as you explore that feeling, of course, acknowledging how easily we can be distracted, as you explore that feeling, can you bring appreciation into your feet? Just appreciating these feet. I think Leonardo da Vinci called feet something like miracles of engineering. In each foot, there's something like 26, 27 bones in each foot. It's about a quarter of our bones in our body are in our feet. Just these feet, how they walk us through life. So there's both the feeling, bringing that conscious, like cultivating appreciation for our feet. Turning towards our feet, recognizing our feet, feeling our feet, appreciating our feet. And then from our feet, so our feet ground, whether you're on the literally on the ground floor, personally I'm on the second floor, from our feet, just kind of balance that feeling of feet to floor. See if you can bring your awareness, the feeling, to the crown of your head. And maybe some of you might actually place a hand just at the top of the crown of your head, just like touching your head. Just a way of, hands can be a great way of helping us to sensitize. Perhaps you wish to keep your hand on your head, or maybe you bring that arm back down, keeping though as best as you can, awareness, just feeling the crown of your head. Maybe you might imagine there's a thread from the crown of your head towards the sky. As I mentioned, minds get distracted. Bring your mind back. We're all capable of doing that. Bring our minds back. Being aware of sensations, crown of head. Feeling, crown of head. And then from here, as long as this is comfortable for you, for some people this is not comfortable. So if this feels uncomfortable for you, just do what you wish. Otherwise, placing the hands on your lower abdomen, just kind of around about, which is below the navel area. Remember how I said hands can be so sensitive. So, our touch helping us to turn towards. So, turning towards our body. Just taking a few moments to notice how things are within you. It's been curious. There can be such a wide range of experiences, which can include I'm not really feeling anything. Not feeling is a feeling. Just a few more moments with your eyes are close, whether your eyes are open. An awareness. What you bring. How you are. Touching in. So, for those of you who have the hands on the abdomen, releasing the hands. For those of you who have the eyes closed, taking your time. So, being gentle in the transitions, avoid moving like quickly and abruptly, taking your time. So, what we're going to do in a few moments, for those of you who are standing, we're going to come to sitting. Just wanted to feel free to sit in a chair. I've already noticed a few sofas, so definitely feel free to sit in a chair if that might be most appropriate for your body. Otherwise, what I wanted to show you, first of all, is a way of sitting that can work for some people, not for everyone. So maybe you've got, so this is a yoga bolster. And what I was going to do with the yoga bolster, I was going to put it at a slight angle like this, and then I was going to sit back like this. So this would sometimes be called internal rotation of the hips. This can be a strong stretch on the feet. So what you could do if you find it too much for your feet, let me just show this, is perhaps a little bit of extra padding. You could, as one example, roll up a blanket. You could place that under the ankle. Or say if you've got a thicker mat, maybe you let the foot hang off the mat, off the edge of the mat. So really important when we come to sitting, I already talked about comfort, making sure this works well for your body. A little factor that might be helpful here is perhaps just a little bit of easing out of the lower legs, just kind of giving a bit more space. Pretty much everyone, not absolutely everyone, but nearly everyone, benefit in this shape having a support for the arms. So the hands like this. Because if the hands are like this, then sooner or later there'll be a kind of a sliding forward. So it's like being aware of your structure. Thus supporting the hands, that can be very helpful. And having this slight angle can help with what some of you might describe as pelvic tilt. So this is one way of sitting. Another great way of sitting are these. So I know that some of you have come across these. So meditation bench. And when I sit in a meditation bench, what I feel is like a release and a support. So for those of you who are in the UK, I recently came across someone, a carpenter, who's making meditation benches. So if you're interested in a meditation bench, I'd be very happy to pass on his details. This is one of, and this bench, I'm not sure how well you can see, it's actually got little dips for your bottoms. And he makes it in three different sizes because, of course, we're all different sizes. I have seen plenty of people, what do they say? It's a game changer. So, this is not a word I normally use in my vocabulary. I would never say game changer, it's a bit of a kind of generational thing. But people sit in the meditation bench and they would be like, oh, it's a game changer. So there's a bench as one example. And then another example of how you can sit. So this reminds me, so I was telling this to Marnie earlier, of my partner. She's from Maine in on the East Coast. And I remember once we went to visit her family and we hired a car. As I remember, it was Enterprise that we hired the car from. And we haven't had a car for like many, many years ourselves. And so we get into this car. I can't remember. I think it was Portland, actually, we hired the car from. We get into this car, and then it's like, how do you start this car? And like, you know, we spent about 5 minutes trying to work out how do you start the car? And then I had to like go back into the rental office, you know, tail between the legs, because obviously I'm a man. I should know how you drive a car. And I'm like, how do you start the car? And it was like, oh, you got to press this button, do the clutch, do that, do this. So I think it's like imagining that you're borrowing a friend's car. So that's obviously a crucial question. How do you start the car? And then there can be, well, what fuel? Electric, diesel, petrol? You'd be looking at, say, the relationship of the steering wheel and the mirrors. You'd be looking at the relationship of, say, the seat and the wheel. Is it manual? Is it automatic? All these different questions. So I think when we come to sit, it's almost kind of going through these questions. And in a way, you know, these early moments of sitting, it's like really paying attention to what we need to do to support our body. A basic guidance can be that the knees are either same level as the hips, or below the hips. Because if you're sitting, let me just come in profile. If you're sitting like this, what it will do, it'll put tension into your thighs and put pressure into your lower back. So, knees either same level or below the hips. That's really good. You know, you're looking at your knees, paying attention to your body. one hip will be more mobile than the other hip. So for myself, my right hip in this, what could be technically described as external rotation, my right hip, I have a little bit more mobility in my right hip than in my left hip. What feels most comfortable for me, in a way, my default way of sitting, left foot and then right foot like this. However, this is my body, my own kind of construct. And this is my body after having done a lot of movement practice for like more than 30 years. Some people will never be able to do a posture like this. Some people might think, oh, this is the way it should be done. Or some people might think, oh, I must do something like this. So, well, you call this like a half lotus pose. A potential difficulty of doing a stretch like this is it can strain the ankle. And in some ways, that could be weakening your ankles. So it's not like we're trying to sit like Manjushri, this beautiful statue just behind me. So let go of the statues, paying attention to your body, your body. So we're looking at, say, well, how can I comfortably sit? And when we have a regular practice, so generally speaking, I would suggest that people, when they come to sit, just sit in a way that feels more comfortable for themselves. And then when you have a regular practice, altering how you sit. So I just put the right leg in and then my left foot. Sometimes I'll sit with my legs folded back. Sometimes I'll sit on a bench. Sometimes I'll sit on a chair. For those of you who have the legs crossed like this, so it's crossing the legs, something that can be really helpful is taking a blanket or a towel or something like that. So I found this be really helpful. Almost like, so you take it and then see what I'm doing here, wrapping it around and tucking it in. So I picked up the blanket, brought it below my knees, wrapped it around, and tucked it in. So it's a bit like being held together. So this can be really helpful. So remembering that calf being in your body, how do you wish to sit? So just as those few options. How do you wish to sit? So finding a shape that supports your body. So the turning towards being in this shape that supports your body. So in my own practice, I begin with a piece from a dates back to about the 1400s from a Tibetan teacher, Tsongkhapa. And that starts, this human birth is precious, an opportunity to awaken. But this body is impermanent. Ready or not, one day I shall die. So this life I must know as a tiny splash of a raindrop, a thing of beauty that disappears even as it comes into being. The karma I create shapes the course of my life. But however I act, life has inevitable difficulties. No one can control it all. Only the Dharma can free me and others from suffering forever. Therefore, I recall my heart's longing for freedom and resolve to make use of every day and night to realize it. Therefore, I recall my heart's longing for freedom and resolve to make use of every day and night to realize it. So, sitting in a shape that supports you, your body, your practice, whether the eyes are open or closed, depending on your circumstances. So we're going to be sitting for about 20 minutes. Of course, within that time, if you wish to move, give yourselves permission to move. And if you do move, see if you can be aware of how you move. And then settle back into the shape that supports you sitting. Whether that's with a cat walking over you, whether that's sitting in a chair, sitting on a cushion, whether you're internally rotated or externally rotated. So we're going to do a practice just feeling our body breathing. And this is a practice that people have been doing for at least 2,500 years. It's real continuity within this practice. You know, the various names, whether it's Anapanasati, maybe it's mindfulness of breathing, maybe it's just feeling your body breath. So without manipulating your breath, without controlling your breath, just feeling your body breathing. Being aware of breathing out, just feeling that the exhale, maybe just as you finish your exhale, it's kind of marking in your mind, maybe saying exhale in whatever language feels most comfortable for you. Just as you've breathed out, just maybe saying exhale. Of course, our minds wander. Gently bring your mind back. Being here, feeling your body breathing, and paying particular attention to the exhale. That suggestion of just marking the end of the exhale with the words, such as exhale. So from being aware of breathing out that exhale, we're gently going to change the awareness to being aware of the inhale. Maybe just before you breathe in, get that marking in your mind, maybe just the word inhale, breathing in. Being aware of your inhale. And then gently loosening your awareness around the inhale. Now, just feel your whole body breathing. Just remember, breath without control, breath without manipulation, just breathing. Just feeling. Sometimes the feelings can be quite strong. Sometimes the feelings can be imperceptible. Just being curious for yourself right now. the feeling of your whole body breathing. Feeling your whole body breathing. So now, from the feeling of your whole body breathing, being curious, where do you feel the breath most in your body? Almost like where's the first sensations of breath felt in your body? So we're going from the larger to the kind of the more focused. Just keeping your awareness at that place where you're feeling the breath touch your body. Myself, currently, that's the right nostril. wherever it might be for you. Keeping the awareness at that place where you feel the breath touch your body. And then, if this might be comfortable for you, perhaps you press your palms. Perhaps you bring your thumbs to the center of your chest. You might like to soften your chin towards your chest. So, in my own practice, I end by saying these words. We dedicate all our actions, our meditation practice and our inspiration to the realization of the true nature of awareness, which leads all sentient beings to awakening. May all beings everywhere experience complete freedom. So for those of you who raise your hand, you might like to release your hand. For those of you who've closed your eyes, take your time. So remember from earlier, being very kind of gentle in the transition. Just raising your eyelids, perhaps keeping your gaze down. And then eventually raising your head. So I do think as practitioners, it's about behaving ethically. It's much more than just say calming the mind or feeling good in ourselves. It's about how we relate to all that's around us. It's about living with integrity. And so maybe in this kind of process of becoming more sensitive to within and around, this can be paths towards that ethical integrity. So we have about 25 minutes. I'd be really happy to answer any questions. If you have any questions, any thoughts on these practices we did, if you've got any technical questions on, say, meditation benches, or I was using that blanket, please do ask. So Marnie will be monitoring the chat bar, and she'll be the, I can't think of the right word, Marnie, the host. Is that good enough? She's nodding her head, giving me a thumbs up. So over to you.
For anyone who's looking how to raise their digital hand, it's in the React tab underneath the screen here. Some of you may be typing a question in the chat. We'll just take another minute so that you can get centered and bring forward your questions or your comments on what unfolded for you in the meditation.
Yeah, because we were doing like those two, we were doing the standing meditation, which, as I said, I'm sure some of you have done before. Oh, raised hand.
Lawrence.
Hello, Lawrence. You're muted.
There. Let's see if that helps. Oops. You feel free to type it, Lawrence.
Yeah, I'd
I
be
see.
intrigued to know, for those of you who had not, say, done a standing meditation before, how you found it for those of you who were standing.
Dawn is asking in the chat, may you share your saying when you end the meditation in the chat?
Yes, I can do that. The other thing you could do is, if you email me, and let me actually show you this card. So I know at least a few of you have seen this card before. So this is a picture of mine and my partner's cat, Vajra. His full name is Lord Vajra Rinpoche the Brave. And he's saying, wake up. And on the back, there's this piece that I recited from Tsongkhapa. So if you email me, I'll be really happy to send you and we've printed up many thousands of these cards, because this is about taking ideas out into the world. So I'd be really happy to send you some of these. So, and for those of you, and also just a little plug, this is my new book, which is free. And if you're living outside the UK, because the postage is so expensive, I'll send it as an electronic version. But for those who are living in the UK, I'm really happy to send you a copy if you'd like. Just email me through my website. I think someone else has raised their hand. Marnie?
Yes, Asholo Pilsen.
Hello.
Thank you. I'll turn on my camera. Let's see. Am I there? Yes, I'm here. Hi, Norman. Nice
Hi.
to meet you. Yeah, it was helpful this morning to practice with you because I had some kind of weird dream. And sometimes I dream like premonition sometimes. But this one was so unpleasant, like I was tortured in a way. And I remember it so vividly that I even have a book of dreams that it left me like, I was like, I hope nothing bad happens to me, you know? But my body could feel it. I was frozen at one point and couldn't fight at all. And I was like, this is not a good feeling. And the practice today helped me kind of relieve that. And be more in touch with my being and what's like the feet and closing my eyes, because I woke up tired just from it too. And also fighting a little bursitis underneath my butt cheek. It feels like a bee sting. So on top of that too. So I have a donut pillow in that case. So I was trying to find a way to sit. I was wondering what recommendations you have to go on with my daily living practice, like awareness. Awareness is good for me. Being aware of what I see, what I feel with my body, and then those thoughts kick in. I'm like, okay, stop. Just come back to the body, I guess. I think that's the practice from what I gather.
Exactly. And coming back to the body, and I think, we live in this way of so many distractions and, our screens. And I know we're all on screens right now, but our screens, and we can get very tunnel visioned on our screens. And I think a really good practice, I talked about going on that walk today, but like looking up to the sky rather than like looking down to the screen, looking up. Me too. I have a very kind of vivid dream life. And, when you said you woke up feeling tired, I can relate to that. And it's just, that's happened. And what's amazing, isn't it, with dreams is like they're so strong and so real, and then they just like dissipate. Yeah, thank you.
So in the chat, Leslie asks, I have a balance problem, so I found linking my hands behind my back was helpful to keep from swaying. Mostly that was a comment.
And Marnie, I really want to emphasize this of like, okay, so my first ever meditation retreat, I felt you almost needed to have a doctor's note to sit in a chair. It was really like, you sit on the ground, you sit. And, I remember actually, I was teaching, my partner and I, we were teaching in Northern Europe a few years ago. And it was almost like someone had been there and said, like, you must sit with your legs in front, because there will be a number of people who are actually more comfortable because of the way their bodies are constructed, sitting with their feet like this. And I really want us to let go of like, oh, this is what I should do, or this is what I've been told to do. And this whole practice of being curious about ourselves, of like, well, what's going to be so great example of like someone standing balance, so they're adapting the practice so it works well for them. A few of you all have heard me talk about this, like let go of shouldism, let go of masturbation. It's not like you must do this, let go of all that and be curious about ourselves. And within the curiosity, of course, our bodies are changing all the time. So, for myself personally, there are some like physical movements, yoga poses I was doing like 10 years ago that I do not do these days. But so it's being curious to like, oh, so, maybe one day we're all sitting in chairs.
Lawrence might have fixed the problem on the microphone, so I'll bring you back on, Lawrence.
Yes, I did. Thank you very much. It was in Zoom settings. First of all, that was so human and so wonderful that you shared about your demonstration and arrest. And I just thank you, both for doing that and for sharing that. Just brought me so present with you. And I just wanted to share something that I discovered that might be interesting as a fellow former yoga teacher, dancer, somatic person. is I like to think of the flow of dependent origination of the breath, starting with the micro all the way down to the impossibility of the air flowing to hair thickness pieces that feed into the alveoli, which is just, and then how quickly the air moving around and breaking into the barriers of the hemoglobin, all the way to the macro of evolution and plants and how we share oxygen on the planet. And it just becomes this impossible dependent origination, inconceivable flow. But thank you very much for re-emphasizing my emphasis on the body and breathing, which I never get enough of.
And Lawrence, how beautiful is that? And I just think, I don't know if it's such a trip. And it's like, it's so bonkers. I don't know if it's like what we'd say in like this country, like it's so bon it's like so amazing. And to me, this is about like really waking up to what you were just describing there, of like, how we kind of bring in oxygen, and then that go carbon dioxide, and then the plants, and all this breath, and we're all breathing together. And really, but what I said at the beginning, like oneness, there is a real oneness as much as there's also uniqueness. Yeah, thank you. That was a lovely description.
I think it partly came up because you mentioned the amazing foot and Leonardo da Vinci. And it's just like, yeah, talk about amazing that we can breathe and how it works. So thank you.
Thank you, Lawrence.
Let's see. Javier is saying, here's a question that I have. What can we take from this section in the end to apply it in our daily lives?
So what the when the, what that was that we dedicate all our actions.
Maybe unmute Javier if you know how. So, saying he's I got a new computer and experiencing trouble with Zoom. So
I'm totally on your side. I really understand that.
feel free to unmute. Which section? Because he said which section. So. And then I'll move on to the next one. Linda shares, first time I've tried standing meditation and I really enjoyed it. Felt like I had less distractions and could drop into the meditation more deeply. I'll be trying this again.
And so, Linda, and something else that can, an insight maybe, is like when we feel more comfortable, say standing or sitting, and then say if we're in a situation where we know we're perhaps going to have a challenging conversation, as one example, maybe you think, oh, I'm going to do it standing because you felt more, in a way, more grounded. And I know. But some other people standing and they feel quite wobbly. So that's not the place they want to be if they're having like a difficult conversation.
Yeah, that really kind of reiterates this bit of intuitive wisdom that you're
Yes.
leading us into. Joanne asks, please say more about embodiment when it is not the cultural norm. The standing meditation helped me in this regard.
Embodiment. Do you know, sometimes I think we can use these words and there can be, we can get confused about words. And I was, quite inspired by what Lawrence was saying a little bit earlier. It's like, as young children, I don't think young children walk around saying, oh, I'm embodied. Young children just are. They're just in their bodies. And one of the fascinating things I found with like children is like how rapidly they can shift emotional gears. I've seen young children be really upset, crying, crying, And then literally like 10 minutes later, really happy and joyful. And for myself as an adult, certainly in the past, I'd get grumpy and then I'd be grumpy about being grumpy. And then about 3 weeks later, I'd have got over myself. Take a long time, getting really stuck. And so maybe embodiment is just like being in our bodies. And I know, so you talked about, say, different cultures. I know for, many people, like being in our body can be really challenging for a whole variety of different reasons. So, maybe just something as simple as feeling your feet on the floor, like keep it simple. And so that can be a problem when we use words like embodiment, that it's almost like it sounds like quite grandiose, but just feel. Or, as I mentioned earlier, me and Marnie, we're tree huggers, which hopefully a lot of you are as well. Tree. So just feel hugging a tree. Just kind of notice the kind of each tree's bark is very unique. Just kind of noticing the bark, touching the bark on the tree, noticing how that feels in your hands. Maybe just holding your hands. Just, oh, how does that feel? As we remember when we did it, placing the hands on the abdomen, just like the hands can be so sensitive, just as a way of helping us to be more in our bodies. I hope that gives you some help.
Kerala says, I really liked the simplicity of the meditation. Focuses on whole body breathing was more difficult.
So that's another great insight of like, some of those stages might be more accessible. Some of those stages might be more difficult. There can be innumerable reasons why, but certainly for some, and also for some people, just being aware of the breath, whatever stage it is, can cause anxiety. So that's interesting. You found the whole, you said that was the more challenging stage for you. So what I would wonder is maybe if you did that practice, so as I said, it has various names and mindfulness of breathing, let's call it, and the kind of classic way of these four different stages, start with the exhale, then the inhale, then the whole body breathing, and then where the breath, you particularly feel the breath in your body. And if you did that practice for say 6 months, and then again kind of asking yourself that question, being curious of like, well, which is the stage you find most comfortable? Which is the stage you find least comfortable?
Ariel asks, how to stay present in your body when you're in a reactive state? When I'm angry or upset, I find it so difficult to stay grounded. Any specific tips?
God, totally. Yeah, exactly. We're in a reactive state, and it's about the last thing we think of doing. So what some of the things I do a lot of kind of, it sounds a bit silly, a lot of splashing cold water on my face. So if something particularly strong has happened for me, I'll splash cold water over my face. Just what it's almost like a way of bringing myself down. Trying to find that pause. So when I'm reactive, notice the word when, not if. When I'm reactive, it feels, I can feel heat. I can feel like it's like flames, it's like what the Buddha taught, the world is on fire, it's flames, it's hot. And so what I really want to try and do is just try and find a moment, like ground myself, pause, maybe feet, just that feet on the floor, maybe grounding, just like hands on the abdomen. Maybe grounding, maybe focusing on the exhale, because like maybe extending your exhale. This can be this, if we're feeling quite agitated, extending the exhale might be helpful. Those are hugging a tree. We could keep coming back to hugging a tree. If only that could be the answer for everything. Thank you.
Joanne shares that she remembers bits of dreams when meditating and sees images of people unknown to her.
Yes. You know, this can definitely happen. And I remember being on a meditation retreat and having, well, remember we talked a little bit earlier about dreams, having a deeply disturbing dream, deeply, deeply disturbing dream. And I know many of you have been on meditation retreats, and it can be really challenging. It can be really difficult. And going on a meditation retreat isn't necessarily all like angels and rainbows and daisies. It can be really difficult. We're kind of meeting ourselves, and stuff can, you know, we push stuff down, and then in a retreat, we're perhaps creating space for that stuff to bubble up. Another retreat I was on, and I remember having this sensation. So this is when I was actually sitting, this sensation of being at the edge of an abyss. And I consciously pulled myself away from the abyss. I did not feel prepared, resourced to go into the abyss. So I think, and it's the same as when I'm teaching yoga and someone says to me, well, I'm feeling this, a really strong stretch. I'm like, well, maybe ease away from that edge. You do not have to push into that place. I think, again, come back to sustainability. The older I get, so if someone had talked to me about sustainability in my 20s, I'd be like, what's sustainability? But like getting older and older, I'm getting more and more into sustainability. So applying that, you know, what we're talking about, you know, whether sustainability is sitting on a cushion, sitting in a chair, whether sustainability is actually you're finding some really quite strong experiences happen, and you think, actually, I'm not prepared. I don't feel resourced enough to deal with that experience. Ease away from the edge.
Lee just shared, I prefer walking in nature meditation than standing, and I love sitting. And
Yeah.
Javier, we got clarification here. Javier's laptop is very old, so limited. So, what section you asked? You mentioned the importance of coming back to the body and to let go of shouldism. How can we do that in busy environments or when somebody tells us to do things X way or Y way? It's in those moments when it costs me a lot to bring my attention to the body because I start to wonder a lot.
Very human, very normal. So I remember when I was first teaching meditation at the end of a yoga class, I'd say, if your mind wanders. And then after a few months, I realized everyone's minds wander. So I dropped the if and said, when your mind wanders. I think to understand that when we're practicing, it's not like practice as a noun, it's practicing as a verb. So this is a process. You know, all I can say from my own like lived-in experience is over time, and when I say time, I'm not talking about a few weeks, unfortunately. I wish it was. I wish everything could be fixed in a weekend. These days, I'm very confident if anyone says it can all be fixed in a weekend, it's just untrue. Because these are such deep embedded patterns. You know, it's like we're alchemists. We're working on ourselves, and it takes time to shift. It takes time to shift. So, you know, I really, really believe these are practices that we'll keep doing until we die. And slowly, slowly, slowly over time, we can, not will, we can become more, say, friendly to ourselves. We can be less caught up, oh, I should do this. I must X, Y, Z. And be a bit more kind of gentle, a bit more. So going back to Dogen. So Dogen, he went, so this is the 13th century. Remember, he was saying the cook with the ingredients you got. And he went to China to study for 3 years. So at that time, you know, this was a very arduous journey. 13th century Japan to China, comes back to Japan, and his students said to him, what are you bringing back? Excellent question. What are you bringing back? And Dogen, I'm sure this is a paraphrasing, but he said something like, a soft and flexible mind. That's it. So, a soft and flexible mind, a mind that's like less fixed and more able to see the bigger picture. We're more able to see clearly. A softer mind is like gentleness. And, going back to say that Tsongkhapa piece of like the preciousness of life. These lives are time limited. As I just myself experienced this week, these lives are time limited. And so if we're like beating ourselves up, if we're berating ourselves, if we're bullying ourselves, it's like, and then we die. Soft and gentle, soft and flexible, slowly, slowly.